Alrighty. It's the 22nd day of July already, 2018, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. If you would, turn with me to Titus chapter 1. We'll read from verse 5 through 16. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Pray your blessings upon it. Oh God, we pray that you would send us a revival, Lord. Start right here with this preacher and with the folks here at Zion, Lord, that we may be able to go out and win lost souls to the Lord Jesus. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Send us to those that are your elect. And Lord, even to those that are not, that we may be able to preach the gospel to them, whether they will receive the gospel or no, it'll be life unto life and death unto death. Have mercy upon us and help us now, O Lord. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, our failures. O Lord, that you would strengthen us in the inner man. Help us, O God, we pray. We need thy help, for we can do nothing without you, and without your power to direct us and guide us and strengthen us, O Lord, we're helpless. We're the chiefest of sinners and the least among the saints. Help us, O Lord, we pray. We need thy help. We need thy strength. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, just a few things in way of remembrance, that Titus was an uncircumcised Gentile, that Paul never required or tried to get him to be circumcised like he did Timothy. He was from Crete and was a great assistance and help to the apostle, and Paul used him tremendously during his ministry, sending him to different places to preach the gospel and to set things aright in the church, especially there at Crete, where they were ignorant about a lot of the things, the doctrine according to Christ, the doctrines of Christ and the doctrines of the apostles. And so he left him there to set things in order that were lacking, and to ordain elders in every city. There was over 100 or about 100 cities on this island of Crete. And I guess maybe a church in each one of them, or maybe most of them. And so Titus remained there, and Paul wrote him this letter to give him some instructions on Christian conduct, on the doctrines that he was to teach them, and to rebuke them sharply because of being a part of the church and not living according to the doctrines of Christ and the apostles. And he meant for Titus to set those things in order, which I'm sure Titus did. Now, we left off last week talking about salvation, the doctrine of salvation. We are not going to be able to cover all the doctrines at one time here, but we're going to cover these things that the apostle talks about to Titus and the things that he's to do. We turn to John chapter 10 and help clarify the doctrine of salvation some last week. It certainly helped clear up some things for me. And in 2 Timothy 1:9, just back a couple of pages, knowing this, 2 Timothy 1:9, be not thou, verse 8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That helps clarify to me the doctrine of salvation, that we're saved by grace. It's according to the will of God and according to the power of God. And he uses the gospel and preachers as means to deliver the gospel. And the Spirit of the living God is the one that opens our eyes and causes us to see ourselves a sinner. It's the Spirit of the living God that opens our eyes and causes us to see the Lord Jesus as the only Savior. It's the Spirit of the living God that opens our eyes and enlightens us to the truth and the understanding that it is only by the righteousness of Christ being imputed on our behalf and to us on our court record in heaven that gives us justification in order to be able to stand before the throne of God and to plead with him for help in time of need. Chapter 3 there in Titus in verse 5, having... Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We need to be preaching and teaching these doctrine of salvation and these verses to the world who thinks that they got saved by their own free will. These churchgoers and preachers that are preaching these things, we need to be teaching them ourselves, like Paul sent Titus and left him there at Crete to set them in order and then wrote him this letter making sure that they understood salvation and how they were saved and how they were called. And here he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. And by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's how we were saved. That's how every person that ever has been saved was saved. Old Testament and New Testament. It was by the grace of God. It was according to his will. He called them. He saved them. It had nothing to do with their works or their goodness or anything else except his will. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I better read that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's how we were saved, by the grace of God. Not by our free will, not by our works, not by anything that we had anything to do with. And God uses, just like we use a vehicle to get here, and most anywhere we go these days is in a vehicle of some sort. God uses the preaching of the gospel as the means to call people. That's an outward call, but it's the call of the Spirit of the living God. It's the call by grace that makes a man saved, not the call of the preacher. But he uses the preachers to preach the gospel. That's the vehicle that God uses.
That's right.
Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Acts 13 and 48. These are some wonderful scriptures that need to be taught to these modern day churchgoers so that they understand. I mean, what are they going to do? They going to refuse to believe what the scripture says? Which they do. But a lot of them just don't hear it. A lot of them have these kinds of scriptures, if they're ever mentioned, explained away. Because they don't want to understand that they had nothing to do with their salvation, if they were saved at all. He says, when the apostle got through preaching, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God, in verse 46, should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, if you want to know why you believed and others didn't, is because you were ordained to eternal life before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And therefore you believed when God called you effectually by His grace. You believed. How can anybody read that scripture and not see except they're blind?
Yep.
And I believe that's what Romans 11 said today. They were blinded.
Yep.
John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But not everyone could see him that way. The Jews, for the greatest part, hated the Lord Jesus, tried to kill him from the very beginning of his ministry, but his hour was not yet come. And when his hour was come, he told his apostles, he said, all right, boys, it's time. Let's go. I've been betrayed. Jesus is ready to do his work. Now, verse 13 there says, which were born, meaning those that received him, they were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. You must be born from above. You must be born again. We all that are believers in Christ have been born twice, and we'll only die once. All the reprobates, all the heathens, we're born once and will die twice. That second death will be the final. That second death will be the eternal separation from God. Now, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I believe he's talking about the world there. He's talking about the Gentile world. That God so loved the Gentiles. God loved the Jews. And he loves his people. And he sent him into the world that we might have everlasting life. And it is only through the Lord Jesus that we have everlasting life. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 5. These great doctrines of Christ that the Lord Jesus taught need to be delivered to the church-going folks of the day so that those that are truly his people might understand and know the truth. Now, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, brethren, we need to have our light shining by taking this gospel, these wonderful doctrines that the Lord Jesus taught his people and taught the disciples, the apostles, and we need to go out and deliver them to the world everywhere and every place that we can go. Never know when you're going to run across an unconverted elect of God. We need to be there teaching them these wonderful truths that the Lord taught his own disciples. Yep. That we are the light of the world. You never know when revival is going to break out. It could start with either any one of you just being at the right place at the right time, talking to the right person, and you never know when revival will start. It could start at any time, any place, just by teaching the truth to the people that you come in contact with. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear about the salt that we are and the light that we are. They need to understand how blessed these people are that are called of God, and all of these things that they are blessed with. And blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, the Lord told them, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The only way our righteousness can exceed those of the scribes and the Pharisees is that it is imputed to us by the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
His righteousness is imputed on our behalf. That's the only way our righteousness will exceed those of the scribes and the Pharisees, because they were a very religious people. It didn't make them righteous. Matter of fact, it was right the opposite. They were hypocrites. And Jesus told them so. And because of things that he said like this right here, caused them to hate him the more and begin to plot to have him killed or kill him themselves. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. I won't have time to read all this. I want to skip over to chapter 6. You can read it at your own convenience, as I'm sure that you do, but take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. I'm sure that there are some fine Christian people that lose their reward, or they get their reward by sounding a trumpet before they give out their little alms, before they give their little goodies and their do-goods, because they want everybody to know that they have given this or that to this person or that person or to the church or to whatever. They sound the trumpet. They let people know. They want people to know. Well, they just got their reward. That was their reward, when they let people know, that people might pat them on the back and say, "Oh, but keep your mouth shut, do your alms," he says, without anybody knowing about it. You do it in secret. If you want to give somebody something, give it to them in secret. Matter of fact, you can put it in an envelope and leave it for them, or whatever you do. Do it in secret so that the world, and you don't get praises from people, but your Father which is in heaven seeth you in secret and will reward thee openly. Great wisdom the Lord Jesus had.
Amen.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know there's people that's gone to their grave refusing to forgive somebody their trespasses. Can you imagine when the Lord Jesus said, "You forgive people their trespasses"? For if you don't forgive people of their trespasses, your Father's not going to forgive you trespasses. And let me tell you something, you're not going to heaven with unforgiven sins. You're not going to heaven with unforgiven sins. That's why we pray all the time. That's why we pray, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my known sins, my unknown sins. Forgive me for things that I thought that were a sin that I didn't even know about." Confess your sins before the Father and pray and beg Him to forgive you of your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites and of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. In other words, don't look like you're fasting, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, he's talking about religious people here. Scribes and Pharisees, one of the most religious folks they were on the earth at the time. Don't be like them, he says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. We're to worship the Lord. We're to give Him our eye. He is to be our light. And we are to shed that light upon the world. Our treasure is to be in heaven. Not by doing things so that people can see, but doing things so that people can't see, that we'll be rewarded outwardly. We'll be rewarded by our Father which is in heaven. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When you work for yourself and the job you're working on comes to a close and you don't have lots of work lined up for the future, and that job starts to come to a close, you begin to think, I got a family to feed. What am I going to do? But as a Christian person, our faith doesn't lie in how much job we got lined up out in front of us. Our faith's in our God, that He will supply our needs, just like the Lord Jesus said right here. I don't have to worry about work as long as my faith is in Christ Jesus. He's always provided me with work. He always will provide me with work so that I might be able to feed my family. He knows I depend upon Him, not on other people. I depend on the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure that He keeps me working so that I can feed my family. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? That's like a log compared to a little stick. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rent you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, of whom his son asked bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Sounds like preachers to me. Sounds like preachers saying that they had done all these things, prophesied in His name, preached in His name cast out devils, and in His name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's going to be a sad day on the great day when men thought they were saved, but were not. Preachers thought they were saved and were not. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, will I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended the sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Oh, they were astonished at his doctrine, his instructions to the people, to his disciples. Those are the Lord Jesus' doctrine that he taught. And all through his ministry, everywhere he went, he was teaching the doctrine as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And I thank the Lord that he did. I thank the Lord that he has many doctrines that he taught. Everywhere he went, the apostles taught the same doctrine after he's gone. And we continue today to teach the doctrines of Christ and of the apostles. And we'll continue to do so. Our God, we ask you mercy upon us today. Mercy upon your people. I pray, Lord, that you would send us as a bright and shining light to your people, wherever they may be, that we may be able to share the gospel with them, the true gospel, and that souls might be saved. I pray, O God, that you would send us a revival. Help your servant, help your people here at Zion and scattered all over this world. Help us to go to those and to preach the gospel and to never miss an opportunity. If we've got 5 seconds that we can share the truth with them, oh Lord, let a revival break out. And it is only by your grace and by your power that such a thing can be done. Help your folks now. Help your people. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our failures and our shortcomings. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good word, Brother Lynn.